It's good being with you. My wife Cheryl and I have been members here for 3-4 years. I have the privilege of overseeing multiplication for the North Central District, which is the district of most of Minnesota for the Evangelical Free Church. And then, which is a fun challenge. We're always having some church started. In fact, there's a church, you heard Jeremy Deck preach a couple months ago, I think, as he's going to be planning over here in Marcy Homes. So we're always working with some people planning churches. We're doing one down in Byron right now, which is just west of Rochester. They're hoping to be able to start a core group, start team by the end of the summer, and maybe next spring start a new church down there. So it's fun to do that part. But I always have the privilege of, and it is a privilege, to come and share with you all. If you remember, does anyone remember what my theme is for this year? Brokenness. And you say, why would we think on brokenness? Well, we're going to blame that on Andy since Andy's not here. Andy and I sat down and talked about it. And he said, I think that's a good theme to look on. What is brokenness? And we want to think that through. The trouble with brokenness, every time I preach on it, God shows a new area in my life. I had something happen in February 5th that Jeff Sorbick, one of my best friends, died in a house fire. And I thought I was doing pretty well until that, and then all of a sudden God started to show me that he wanted to do some building some emotional wholeness in me. And, you say, well, God, why do you work? How do you work? And how does brokenness work? And that's what we want to think on today. But before we think on that, I got a question for you. What is God's goal for you as a believer? What does God really want to do in your life for you as a believer? And you can answer that one. This will be the only question you get to answer today. What's God's goal for those who follow him? What's God want to do in your life? Be like Jesus. Good. What else? Boy, you took the big one so that no one else can even get an answer. Anybody want to expound on that? Make us holy. Anything else? Make you whole. Wow, I like that one too. All three of those are good. Anything else? See him more clearly. Great. Bear the fruit of the Spirit. Produce the fruit of the Spirit. Good. Let's look at a verse here to start with. You have your Bibles. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3. I want us to look at 3:17-18 today, because I believe this puts all this together in one thing. And I think Jen was the one that said, be Christ-like, be like Jesus. This is really God's goal in our life. And let's read this, 17:18. Now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image, what? With ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Wow. I think too often as believers, we come to a place where we want to be believers, we want to follow Jesus, and we're satisfied with that. We want to be comfortable believers, right? We want to have enjoyment. We want to have the best of this life, but we also want to be really following Christ. But do we understand that God's goal is that we do what? Be transformed, being transformed into his image with what? Ever-increasing glory. Now, the glory is that we reveal God in all we do, but we're being transformed into his image. And he's changing us. It's always changing. I think too often, I find myself, I get satisfied where I was. But what God's kind of done this last spring is say, no, Moose, I want you to keep growing. I want you to keep growing. I want you to be changed. I want you to be being transformed. Now, when we look to transformed, who is transforming us? It says being transformed. So we're being transformed by God, right? By the Holy Spirit. It's not something we can do. And folks, too often, as followers of Christ, we are all focused on changing myself. I have to do that. I have to do that. I have to do that. You can't change yourself from the inside out. You can change yourself externally, but you can't change yourself from the inside out. And so what we need to realize is God is doing the transforming. So what's our response? What's our responsibility in it? I'll give you a second question. What's our responsibility in being transformed? Openness, surrender, good. obedience, being moldable. Anything else? Humility, humble, so we can see God and see ourselves. And also, not only that, being repentant, living a repentant lifestyle. Because God wants to change us. God wants to transform us. And that doesn't take away our responsibility to respond to studying the Word, following Him, being around Christians, being in prayer, right? But what it does do is saying He's the one that's going to change us if we'll let Him. And that's where brokenness comes in. Because one way that God transforms us is by breaking us. It's through brokenness. The definition for brokenness that I want to use, and we use in January, don't do that to me, computer. What just happened? See if that worked. Oh, that worked. Good. Brokenness is a moment-by-moment lifestyle of agreeing with God about the true condition of my heart and life so I can see my desperate need for God and willingly surrender to His care and His call. Brokenness is a moment-by-moment lifestyle of agreeing with God about the true condition of my heart and life so that I can see my desperate need for God and willingly surrender to His care and His call. Do you see, in brokenness, it's something that, if we're really talking about transformation, it's something that's happening all the time. And as it's happening, because God's working in us, God takes us into a process of breaking us so that we can see Him more clearly and see how desperately we need Him. And then He's the one that transforms us. And so when we come willingly to surrender, we say, okay, God, do it your way. And I will be useful however you want me to. But that's hard, isn't it? Because how many of you like doing it someone else's way? I don't see any hands. We all want to do it our way, right? But God says, no, I'm transforming you. And you're mine. I own, because you've given your life to me. Follow me. So what are the sources of breaking that God uses us? Well, I think there's several sources that He uses. The first one is He uses the normal life problems. For example, I have a friend named Cheryl and I have a friend named Michelle. She's the one who lost her husband. Death is a normal thing, right? Not that age, but it's a normal thing. Sickness can be a normal thing. Having car breakdown can be a normal thing. Having that happen on a day when you're in rush hour traffic and you know, and all of a sudden the ungodly stuff comes out. And all of a sudden you start to see yourself, but God uses normal everyday life. And see, when we understand that, breaking is not always because we're in sin. Breaking just may be because God's trying to transform us to be more like Christ. Second thing, the second source may be sin. If you, a follower of Christ, are living in sin, or hanging on to some sin, God will probably break you of that. The third one is spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is where God is allowing Satan to attack you or deal with you in different ways. And we're going to see that this morning. But spiritual warfare really helps us to stop and see how desperately we need God. And then the fourth one is God's personal testing. Remember Abraham? Abraham was following God pretty well, right? And all of a sudden he says, hey, take Isaac and sacrifice him. What? This is the son you promised me. Sacrifice him. See that I can provide. So we realize there's many different ways. And today we want to go to the Bible and look at one way. If you have your Bible with you, we're going to go through the book of Job today. We're going to go from 1:1 to the last chapter, okay? Now, I'll try to keep it in under 2 hours. But I think Job is really an ideal example of how God breaks people. And God is going to use two different forms here. We're going to see, number one, I think God is testing Job. But I also think that God is using spiritual warfare. We'll see them both. Because in the first two chapters of Job, we see this from God's perspective. And then in the last four chapters, we see it, five chapters, we see it from God's perspective. And then in between, we see all the things that have happened in the earth. And so you're seeing it from here and from here, from eternity and from temporal. And what we see is Job. Oh, I think we have a guy named Job here, don't we? Does he want to stand up? He told me if I do that, he wouldn't stand up. He knows who I'm talking to. But we see that Job, in Job 1:6, and now I'm just going to read this. I believe it's on, yes, 1:6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on the earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." I'd love to hear God say that about you and me, right? So, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and his herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And we start to see here. So you see there's spiritual warfare where God is allowing Satan to work, right? The other thing is it's a testing of him proving again his faithfulness. And so as you notice in this passage, if you read the next part of it, I'm not going to read all the verses because we don't have time. But if verses 13 through 17, the first part of that testing and breaking begins, and he loses all of his animals and his wealth. Boom, it's gone. In verses 18 through 20 of chapter 1, then he loses all of his children. Boom, they're gone. And then we see Job's response, verse 20, and I'd like to read that to you. "At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship." Did you catch that? He fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Wow. I'm not sure I'm there, guys or gals. But here's a man who, in the midst of this breaking, he does what? He turns to worship. He turns back to God. He's faithful there. And you say, well, God's probably done then, right? No, let's go to chapter 2. We would think that Job is what God wants him to be. He's a really good guy. He didn't sin. But you need to realize that it's not about, breaking is not about not sinning. It's about us being transformed, what? In ever-increasing glory in the likeness of Christ Jesus. Wow, that's a little different. So you can look all good on the outside, you can keep all the rules on the outside, but what's going on the inside is what God is concerned about. And so we go to chapter 2. And chapter 2, we jump into verse 3. "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on the earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason.' 'Skin for skin,' Satan replied. 'A man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. Verse 9, his wife said to him, 'Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die.' And he replied, 'You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?' In all this, Job did not sin in what he did." Wow. even though God is allowing him to be taken through severe testing, what's he do? He doesn't turn against God. And we see that through the whole rest of this the book, you're going to see that God, he does not turn against God. He seeks to have a face time with God. But we also start to learn some very clear truths about God's breaking. And I want you to hear these, because so often I think as Christians, we say, well, if God's taking me through breaking, it's for punishment. If God's taking me through, he won't take care of me. Let's hear this very clearly. The first truth about God's breaking is God protects us in the breaking process. Look again at verse 1, verse 12, chapter 1, verse 12. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. God gave very clear limitations, right? God is concerned about the man Job. He's concerned about his internal, his personal wholeness in his soul. You see also then, look at verse 2, chapter 2, verse 6. Very well then, he tells Satan, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. You can't kill him. You can do anything else, but you can't kill him. And you say, well, man, that doesn't sound very much like God's care, does it? Again, what is God concerned about? God's concerned that we're being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, in the image of God, right? He's concerned about the internal, not the external. Our bodies are just temporal, folks. We have them here today. They may be gone tomorrow. I was with Jeff Sorbick the day before. Him and I talked. We had a very heart-to-heart talk on Friday that day at 12 o'clock. And he told me, Moose, I'm going to talk to you Monday because we have some decisions you need to help me make. And I started texting him on the way home from flying from Chicago. Monday never came. Life's temporal, folks. Life's temporal. God's concerned with the eternal. We get to spend eternity with our Father. And we see that the first principle is that God protects us in the breaking process. Secondly, the breaking process is about our transformation into Christ-likeness, not just that we don't sin. And we see that again, that Job did not sin. God wants spirit, soul wholeness, heart change, those who are really sold out to follow him. That's what he wants to do in us. And you said, when you came to Christ, you said, I'll do what you want me to do, right? Lord, change me, right? Guess what? God took you to his word, at your word. And you've said, change me. So he's in that process. And so we realize that God is concerned with transformation. Thirdly, this is a hard one, especially if you're married or you're part of a family. The breaking process usually affects everyone closely connected. And God's desire is to use it to do his transforming work in them also. Go back. Did you see Job and his wife? She's the one that said, how long are you going to put up with this, Job? Just curse God and die. See, God's taken her through a broken process too, breaking process too. And you have to realize that. And you can come and say, well, God, I didn't ask for this. Well, you're married. The two have become one. You're a family. And what happened? And someone, as I was talking to the other day, says, you know your spouse, God may use your spouse to break you. I go, I think it's the other way around. In our marriage, God's using me to, you know, because it's just, you know, you stop and go. There's times I look at myself and I say, well, Cheryl's one of walking closely. And I go, these are things I'm working through. And it affects the other person. Do you like that? No, we don't like it. But we need to be careful. Now, Job's wife, was she fighting breaking, or was she just honestly struggling? I don't know, and you don't either. But let me let you in a secret. God has no trouble with honest struggling. God has no trouble with you coming before him and saying, I'm struggling with this. Whoa, 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 that's good on a computer. Maybe we have a sermon. Hey, it's still working. It's a Surface Pro. Thank you. Wow.
You want a new stand?
No, I'm good. I tightened it up. Okay, it's staying there now. See, someone doesn't want us to deal with this either. What were we talking about? I lost my train of thought.
Honest struggling.
And honest struggling. I think the best illustration of that was at the funeral for Jeff Sorbick. His wife's the one who closed the whole service in prayer. And she stood up there and she said, "Guys, can I be honest with you? Right now I'm angry, I'm hurting, I'm sad, I'm mad." And she just honestly shared her whole self. And if you watched her, if you watched her at all on her Facebook, you see the honesty as she's struggling with God. But she said, "But I know God is faithful. I know God will take us through this. I know where Jeff's at. I know." And see, it came right back. That's honest struggling. But the other side of that is maybe we're struggling and it's just because we don't want to be broken and we're fighting it. And let me warn you something on that. If you fight God's breaking, then you'll be broken in the wrong way and you'll become a what I call walking wounded. And we have a lot of Christians who are walking wounded. God is trying to change you. God is trying to transform you. But you're fighting and saying, "No, God, I don't want to. No, God, I will not do this. No, God, you cannot." And the trouble is, then the process of breaking is stymied. And the hurt of breaking and becomes infection that then hurts you. And let me show you a couple of the ways this happens. When we're resisting this, two cautions we need to hear. Resisting God's breaking will produce walking wounded. That person who is God's trying to break and is not willing will become bitter or cynical or mean or walking around wounded, not whole. I have a friend named Walter. And Walter is a guy who accepted Christ as a young man, but he would never deal with what God was trying to break him up. So he became, I met him at age early 70s. By age 80s, he was just the orneriest, meanest, ugliest Christian you ever saw. You wanted to say, "Can you call him a Christian?" But yes, he professed Christ, but he was fighting Christ that anybody who knew Walter said, "I don't want nothing of that Christianity." And we got to be careful, folks. When God's starting to do a work in us, if we're fighting, we're going to become that and we're going to be walking wounded. Here's what causes us to become walking wounded. If when God's trying to break us, if we start making excuses for our sins, or if we're defending our rights or justifying our attitudes, it's very easy to say, "Well, you know, no, God, I was raised that way." You know what? God already knows that. You don't have to tell him that. God wants to take that and transform that. "Well, how I was raised, yes, that directly affects me." And honestly, folks, some of you here, it breaks my heart how you were raised. It really does. But God wants to transform that into what? Christ-likeness. We just sang the song. He makes what? Everything beautiful. So Christ wants to, God wants to transform that through the Holy Spirit. Another thing that can cause us to resist is by the blame game. "Oh, it's them. Oh, it's their fault." We saw that with Adam and Eve. Another one is that we become busier or become doing a lot of other things so that God doesn't have time to work. And we don't have time to stop and hear. Folks, if we want God to change us, we have to be with God. We have to learn what it is to have unhurried time with God so he can change our hearts. And the last way that many times is a lot of us start to try harder. "Oh, I'll do better. I'll start doing this. I'll start doing..." No, remember, who's doing the transforming? God. So then our responsibility is to come alongside and say, "Yes, whatever, Lord, but let him change us. It's not me being better." Job did not sin, but God kept up the breaking process. You see that? So we need to realize that one of the cautions, and we're going through through brokenness, we need to be very careful that we do not become walked wounded. Here's another caution, folks. And we see this throughout the book of Job. Most people will try to fix a person going through God's breaking process. Do you remember the friends of Job? They were trying to fix him, right? They were trying, they didn't want to see him in pain. They said they sat with him, and then they started to tell him what he's doing wrong, what he needed to do. And so they're going to fix it. And we need to be very careful. If you have somebody, if you have a friend who is going through the breaking process right now, be careful not to stop the process. It's God's process. You need to come alongside. You need to be a friend. You need to be a person listen. You need to be a person pray. Cheryl and I have a friend named Cheryl who is going through a breaking process. And it's been a tough one. I mean, it's tough, tough. Cheryl and I can sit and weep just because of what she's going through. But it's beautiful this week when we talked with her to see that she's really growing. She's starting to become personally whole where she wasn't a year ago. And God is doing that work. What do? We listen. We cry with her. We pray for her. But the thing is, see, you got to come alongside. Don't interfere. Here's another thing. We don't want pain either. How many of you have Advil or Tylenol or something like that on your person today? Some of you have that, right? Yeah, Why? Because we don't want pain. Remember, God uses pain many times to change us so that we become more Christ-like. Let the pain do its process, do its work as God wants us to. And that inner pain is hard, but God wants to work through it. Now, back to a couple truths about the process of breaking. Yielding to God's breaking will strengthen your hope and faith in Him. I think one of the most beautiful passages, probably in the whole Old Testament, is found in Job 19:25. This is Job when he's sitting with open sores that he scraped off. What does he say? In Job 19:25, you don't have it. I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see him. I myself will see him with my own eyes and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Wow. Here's a guy that's going through this breaking process, and he can easily come back and say, I know that my Redeemer lives and that I will see him with my own eyes, even though this is all falling off. And what? My heart yearns to be with him. So we need to realize that as we're going through the breaking process and as you're allowing to do its work, God will build your strength and help you to walk closer to him and really find your hope and faith in him. And then also, God's breaking process brings us a deeper intimate walk with him. The last five chapters, and we don't have time to read much of it. But I want you to see, and I'd really encourage you to read those last five chapters of Job, because it's here where Job is asked all throughout the book. He says, God, can I only have FaceTime with you? Can I really talk with you? And finally in Job 38, God says, okay, Job, it's time. Buckle up, stand up, let's have a talk. And we see that God gives him the right to have that intimate talk because the process is working. He really wants to be transformed. And then verse 38, the Lord says, verse 2, who is this that obscures my plan with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. And then God goes in and just shares with him God's majesty, God's creative power, God's sovereignty. And Job just sits there and takes it in. And then you go over into chapter 39. I love this one. 39, Job says to him, 39:1, Job, do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Or do you watch when the doe bears her fawn? Do you count the months till they bear? Do you know the time they give birth? And you know, God is just going on all creation and just helping him to see, Do you know who I am, Job? This is who I am. But I'm talking with you. And then in chapter 40, verse 1, God reveals his character. And the Lord said to Job, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. And then Job answered the Lord, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I'll say no more. And so we see God then show his character. God shows his justice, and God displays that to him. And then finally, in chapter 42, we start to see Job's response. Job's response is, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my plan without knowledge? Surely, Job saying, I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful me to know. You said, listen now, I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Do you see the process has come almost full circle where God is bringing Job to the place where Job says, I see you, God. I have heard you before, but now I see you. Now I know you, God. So do you see in this whole process, Job has come to the place where he knows God more effectively. He's in a more intimate relationship. He's talked with God, and God is really in close connection with him. And because of that, because Job has seen God, do you see what happens? He's broken. What's the last thing he said there? Let me read it again. Therefore I despise myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Job has seen God. He humbles himself. Job has seen God. He confesses, I was wrong. Job has seen God. He now repents. And he surrenders. And because he surrenders, the breaking process is done. And then you go into the next chapter. You go into chapter 42. And here we see the last truth about brokenness. As we yield and surrender to God's breaking, he will transform and restore us. And what happens? If you read chapter 42, you see where God transforms and restores Job. First, he restores his relationship. I love it. You remember the three friends who were talking to him and telling him what he needed to do? God goes to those three friends and said, guys, you guys have sinned. You were wrong. And you have to go have Job pray for you. Do you see how God has restored him? He's restored. He brought him back into that right relationship. He brought him back into that ministry relationship where he was now again the man who people could see, the man of God. And then finally, we see if you read on that he restores his life and his family, gives him more kids, more animals, more everything. Is that what we're saying God's going to do every time when he restores us? I'm not saying that, but what I am saying, God's going to put you back in right relationship so that you can walk close with him. You need to realize, folks, God breaks each of us in different ways. Job, he had to take this way so that Job would become humble. Some of you are very tender in your walk with God, and God just can easily say, I think we need to work on this. And you go, what? Okay, God, let's work on it. Some of you are like me, hard-headed, kind of ornery, kind of stuck in the way I like to do it. God has to work on it. God has to take me through a different breaking process so that I might be transformed. We have a friend like Michelle who's going through it with the loss of a husband. But I know other people are going through it in many different ways. And God wants to break us so that we can be what? So that we might be transformed. Paul, remember Paul in the scriptures? He was 3 years in the wilderness. Remember Peter? Peter, what happened? The rooster crowed and all of a sudden Peter's broken. And we know within the next 40 days, God has done the breaking process in Peter so that he can restore. Because we see John 21. So God does it in different ways. But we need to realize, do we want to be transformed so we're like Christ in increasing measures? As we close today, a couple thoughts to ponder. Do you have a personal relationship with God who wants to transform you into the likeness of His Son, Christ Jesus? Are you sure of that? You say, but Dan, I'm not sure I want to go through what Job went through. Well, you may not have to. God may do it a different way. But the beauty of what Job went through is that Job's faith was strengthened, that Job had a personal, intimate relationship with God, and that God restored him and blessed him. And God wants to do that in your life. So if you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's a start. Because that's the first place we give up our own wills. Secondly, are you in the midst of God's breaking process now? I would guess that there's some of you here who are in that process right now. And it may not be a big deal. It may be just something where God, like God took me through one not long ago, where He just wanted me to look at my attitude and really look at my attitude where I had a better than other people attitude. And God wanted to break that. And He took me through a breaking. It's not a big long one, but it was one that God took me through because He wanted to transform me to be more Christ-like. Are you in a process where God's breaking you right now? If you are, how can we come alongside you? You know what has to happen if you're going to have someone come alongside you? What has to happen if you're going to have someone come alongside you when you're going through a broken process? Ooh, I don't like that. And what else? That's good. You have to be open to it and you have to be honest. What's another one? A couple other ones. You have to be around people. So you got to tell people, right? We have to be vulnerable. And I don't know about you, but there's some things I want to keep all to myself, right? And how do you come alongside somebody when they're keeping everything to themselves? And when we do that, we're hurting ourselves, but we're also hindering someone else praying for us. Again, you got to be very careful. We're not trying to take away break the process. We're just trying to come alongside and love them through it and encourage them. So if someone's here today and has that, we would love to pray for you. And here's the hard one too. Are any of you walking wounded today because you've resisted God's breaking? Are you to a place where you have fought God in His breaking and now you look back and you say, you know, I am cynical. I am bitter. I have an anger issue. Is that part of that? If you're at that place, what do you need to do? What are some next steps you need to take? As we close today, I want to go back to the first verse I read. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Will you let Him transform you? Today, as we close, I just want to go to a time of prayer. And let's just take some quiet time of prayer here a little bit, and then I'll close. And then during our singing time today, there's going to be four or five of us around who, if you have something you want to come to somebody else and have prayed with you for, we'd love to do that. Or another thing you may want to do, even this time here, you may want to reach over to the person next to you that's one of your friends and say, you know, I have something I need you to pray for because I'm going through a breaking process and I need God's help. I need your help to help let God do what I need to do. Let's pray. Father, you know each person here and we're so thankful you know us. And there's many of us here who really know you very personally too, and we thank you for that. But Lord, I'm sure in a group like this size, there's several people or maybe many people who are going through a breaking process that you're allowing them to go through right now. And you're taking them through it, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would minister to them. That you'd reach down and just touch them and let them be able to surrender and say, okay, Lord, I want to become more Christ-like. Do your work in me. Father God, I pray that you would just lead and intervene in a wonderful way. For we ask it in Jesus' name.